Today's program is brought to you by MOFAD, the Museum of Food and Drink. For more information, visit MOFAD.org.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Holy cow, it's a new year, 5777. Can you dig it? And we're back. Oh, my goodness, celebrating the lunacy of the era. Pete Zaremba called in. His dog ate his homework, apparently. And sitting in the Durwood Kirby chair is our friend Rosie Schaap.
Hello.
Who is both guest and co-host today.
It's an honor.
It reminds me, next time I need a co-host, I'm calling you.
Okay.
Because rain nor sleet nor dead or night nor hangover will stop you.
I am undeterred.
Undeterred. Rosie Schaap, who's been here before. Maybe you remember her from her column Drink in the New York Times Magazine and her fantastic book Drinking with Men. Men, I think, are going to be a topic of today's,
and
today's show.
I'm drinking with a man right now. If Pete were here, I would be drinking with men.
Nice use of the subjunctive, by the way.
Well, I pride myself in that.
Not to use the past tense, because we're past tense and we live in bungalows now. Anyway, Rosie's here, and we got a lot to talk about today. We're going to be atoning for our sins later in the week, or some of us
are.
But not to visit the sins of the candidate upon the electorate. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, are you going to be drinking during tonight's debate?
I think it's going to be a big drinking night all around. I have a feeling liquor stores are going to have a very good day. It's a good thing they're open on Sundays now.
The incredible thing is that Donald Trump is sober. I mean, not sober in the sense that he quit drinking, but he's never been a drinker because
he saw
alcoholism in his family and steered clear of that, which under normal circumstances would be a plus one. I would give him that in the credit column.
Maybe, but in his case...
He speaks like a drunken frat boy. Yeah. There's no excuse. If he were drunk, it would be like, okay, he was drunk. He doesn't know what he was doing, but he doesn't have that excuse.
Right. Some have likened him to a drunken frat boy, more, I think, to that embarrassing drunken uncle at a holiday dinner.
Groping you on under the table.
Right.
Yeah, but he's setting an example. He is giving men a bad name.
He sure is.
Not that we need his help. So much to talk about today. Halloween's coming up. We have fall cocktails. It is a very scary season.
It's my favorite season.
Mine too. I love October in New York.
There's nothing better. Whenever I have friends planning on visiting from afar, I say come here in October, and you will see New York at its absolute best and most beautiful.
And what do you love most about it?
Oh, the
autumn in New York is.
You could sing. There might be a song about that. Why does it seem so inviting? I love the color. I love the cool air. I love the crispness. I love all the students with their backpacks heading back to school.
Oh boy! Oh boy.
Just the whole feeling of it.
Love watching the Mets collapse.
Well, I don't love that so much.
Man, that was
wait until next year.
Next year in Jerusalem.
Yes.
Well, the Mets didn't collapse this year. I would not call that typical Mets.
No.
Listen, last year they went pretty far.
They did.
They got beaten up in the last round, but boy, oh boy, they're in the World Series.
I know. No complaints about that.
That was good baseball.
Yeah.
And this year's, losing in the ninth inning, that hurt. But that's why baseball is the greatest sport of all time.
The heartache? That's why?
Well, no, just, people just don't understand. It's boring. Nothing happens. Don't understand that this is the greatest narrative to build these moments of, unbridled tension. It is like the tension release in baseball is the closest thing to actual life.
Yeah, well, I love baseball, but as I think I love soccer even more, and for similar reasons. Last year was historic in the English Premier League because of Leicester, this team coming out of nowhere and winning the league.
That's Leicester with an I and a C?
with a bunch of letters that Lester probably doesn't really need. But it was thrilling, and I feel like the tension, the release of tension you describe in baseball, we feel with goals in soccer often, great release.
I lived in Spain for a few years. I lived in Madrid in the early, mid-90s, and it was a great time if you were a football fan to be there. Barcelona was dominating the Spanish league, and Spain was dominating the European league with guys largely from the Barca team. It was a really good time if you were in just becoming a fan, because
who's dominating who?
Oh my God, Zaremba! I thought the dog ate your homework.
You know what?
This is the magic of radio.
I didn't call to say hi to you. I want to say hi to Rosie.
Hi, Pete.
Rosie,
I miss you.
What are you guys drinking?
Well, right now I'm drinking a delicious Bloody Mary, and I drank about 2/3 and then added some beer to make it like a Bloody Mary Michelada.
The airport Michelada, as I like to call it.
Hybrid, or what might...
It's very nice.
Yeah, it's delicious, but I miss your weird, colorful cocktails.
what did you twirl last time? What poison were you
spinning? It was blue. I just remember it was a blue Curacao number.
Was it a blue Curacao, or was it the Sauray with Polish vodka?
Ooh. That's right. I've had both. That's right. I'm mixing them up. Now put them both together, and that's really a hell of a drink.
And last year I was working on my own cocktail to answer for the dark and stormy, a summer drink. I was coming up with the fall version, the stormy weather.
Oh, nice. And there's always a song.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
You were talking about southern Spain. Last night we were drinking some Montilla Mariles, which you probably Fino, Mike probably.
Some Manzanilla, some Vino Fino, also known as sherry here in the Americas. I
like sherry very much.
Hey, Rosie, you're a follower of cocktail trends and drinking trends, journalist for the New York Times magazine.
But I'm going to stop you for a second, because the truth is, I mean, I feel some obligation to keep an eye on trends, but I really don't care about them. Trends aren't that interesting to me.
Anybody can buy fashion, but very few people have style.
Correct.
Nonetheless,
Michael, well put.
But I think was Sherry and Jerez Montaner becoming more popular in the last year or so, sort of coming to the forefront?
They are, and a very nice book about Sherry came out about a year ago. And I see sherry being used more in cocktails. It can mix very, very nicely. But I think good sherry on its own is a real treat.
I love light, dry Jerez Manzanilla as an aperitif with some almonds, perhaps.
Terrific.
I mean, that's what
the thing about this is it's not really a sherry because it's produced in Montilla.
Ah.
But it's the ancestor of sherry.
You know,
I couldn't say whether it's better or not, but it is the ancestor, hence the Spanish word amontillado.
Oh, it's an amontillado, which is
made in the way of Montilla.
This is what like old ladies drink at tea time.
This is an old lady.
Old ladies aren't wrong.
Some of my best friends.
Well, yeah, honestly.
I don't want to be. I'm using like modern technology here, like a satellite hookup.
Where are you calling from exactly?
Wheel.
Where are you calling from?
Third
Pete?
Wheel at this party. So, Mike, are we going to do that song we've been working on?
Yes, we. The Rolling Stones put they're stealing our act, basically. You know. Tea leaves, I believe, is the English slang. They're a bit of a tea leaf. The Rolling Stones always have been, but they're stealing our act and doing a blues record.
And we're going to jump on them.
And they've taken our policy of not rehearsing and not writing new material.
Was that a little Cockney rhyming slang?
Tea leaf. Oh,
very nice.
Yeah. And they put out a record, basically Little Walter songs and some Howlin' Wolf, and mining the same territory we've been mining, basically the same stuff they did in 1963. This is what they're back at. So I thought we'd cover the new Rolling Stones single. We'll be the first ones to cover their song 50 years after they covered it. We haven't rehearsed it, and we're going to do it via satellite, like Elvis.
Satellite hookup.
Where are you calling from exactly, Pete?
Yeah,
live from Hawaii.
You're in Hawaii?
Oh.
You better not be in fucking Hawaii. Seriously, where are you? What's your excuse for not being here today?
You sound good.
This is what the debate's going to be like tonight.
He's around the corner.
Watch Zaremba pivot. I heard you had a problem with a tree or something in your front yard.
I did have a problem. We had to have a tree cut down by our tree surgeon.
I've heard that story.
Dr.
Mike Root.
You know, I had my family tree searched, and I found out that I was the sap.
Oh, wow.
You know what? The tree was dying, right?
Like,
so
my group
came
sad.
Here, and he said, look, he says, I give this tree 6 months.
I want a second opinion.
Bill, so we gave it another 6 months.
All right. We missed that Sputnik era of humor, Zaremba. Oh, man, everything's on delay here today. So back to the debate and drinking games and drinking and fall cocktails with our expert cocktailologist and journalist, Rosie Schaap. What are you going to be drinking during the debate tonight? And will you be playing a juvenile drinking game?
I won't. You know, I feel that there was a long spell when this all felt like a joke, a terrible joke.
There was a time when I was voting for Donald Trump.
No,
this was a long time ago.
Don't even.
Well, no. I just figured if America wants a nightmare, who am I to stop them? But it stopped being funny, like in a very harsh way. That curtain came down hard and fast.
It truly did. So I think it's actually quite a serious time requiring serious drink. And as I think you know, I was in Scotland recently on a crazy whirlwind distillery tour. So I think I'll just be drinking some nice, neat scotch this evening.
So where were you in Scotland?
Where wasn't I in Scotland? It was a crazy, if it's Tuesday, it must be Orkney kind of adventure. And Orkney was probably my favorite part of the trip. It is a wild, windswept, beautiful place. So windy, trees cannot thrive there. It is a treeless, bleak, beautiful island, and it feels very heathen and very Wicker Man, which I love.
And conducive to drinking.
Conducive to drinking, conducive to sacrifices. There are these wonderful Neolithic standing stones all over the island that long predate Stonehenge.
Standing stones, you mean like Easter Island kind of stuff?
Kind of, but not carved. They're very... They're just these very solid geometric forms that seem to pop up
all over.
Ancient
astronauts? This is a topic that I'm afraid has left the national conversation.
And while I couldn't bring you...
And yeah,
oh, you're
you
still
are,
here, Pete. Hi.
No, he said ancient astronauts, and he said, what, me? I was thinking more like Chariots of the Gods. Remember when we were kids, and any time you saw something that couldn't be explained, obviously...
Oh, ancient astronauts,
it was extraterrestrials,
right.
That...
Spacemen.
You know,
right.
Spacemen
no,
before, came
I,
and taught the Egyptians math.
I just think they were good old-fashioned heathen humans, and I couldn't bring you one of these multi-ton standing stones from Orkney, but I do have a little piece of onyx for you.
Oh, my goodness.
For the
show
Halloween
the
season. Yes. And I hope it will help deter negativity and help to protect you.
Thanks, Rosie.
You're very welcome.
This is like for real, like a very pretty, small, polished piece of onyx.
Onyx, yeah.
And wow, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm gonna hang on to this and hope that it does ward off whatever.
Trump.
It's ward off Trump and a lot of fucked upness.
Yeah.
If I may use like a spiritual term.
Sure. I like it. That is a spiritual term that seems very germane to the goings on in the world.
I do feel that we are at the nexus of something horrible.
I think many share that ominous, terrible, sinking feeling.
It's just, the apocalypse does feel upon us in a weird sort of way. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, whether it's going to be an email, dump, or it's going to be like war breaks out in the Middle East. I mean, I just feel like anything could happen.
More war breaks out.
I feel that Russia, somebody could pull the trigger quick before this election. And I mean the big trigger. I just don't know. I feel every day I wake up with a sense of dread and anticipation of something awful.
Yeah.
Mike, either way, we're screwed.
We're going to play that Rolling Stones song later, right? Make everything all right. Because you know what, Pete? Rock and roll cures all ills.
Well, it helps, for sure. It certainly helps.
I think one of those the whiskeys from the Orkney Islands would probably help.
Well,
I think it will. I'm gonna lean on that tonight for sure.
So, Pete, we got a new bartender out back in the tent at Roberta's here, and this is the first old-fashioned he's ever made.
It's remarkable.
So it isn't really in the old-fashioned way. I tried to school him a little bit, and it's pretty good.
So there was no go with Pogo, huh?
Pogo's at the inside bar, and we got a new team at the outside bar in the tent. And he gave
to train them.
This is good.
Well, I'm gonna hit pause there for a second because, you know, it's interesting. When people speak of the old-fashioned way to make an old-fashioned, they can mean two very different things.
He means Jim Backus on an airplane, and it's a mad, 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 mad world.
That's exactly what I mean.
Which is great. But are we talking the version I was first taught at a small-town bar in Vermont, where you muddle the orange and the cherry together?
He muddled.
He did muddle.
He muddled.
Okay.
That's the way they make it up here in Lakeville.
Sure.
And we love that. So you're in Lakeville.
Right. We somehow drew it out of him.
Right.
Right. And then there's the no fruit way, which predates the muddled cherry and orange way. And I think both are great drinks. And sometimes what I like is
really
a kind of combo.
Is you don't even put it in a glass.
You put a sugar cube on your tongue with a dash of bitters and then just drink the whiskey down.
Well, I mean, let's see. Last time you put a sugar cube on your tongue, was it really, really an old-fashioned rosy
chap? I don't have to answer every question on this program.
Was Jerry good that night?
Jerry was great that night. I mean, actually, it was not his best era, the 90s, but it certainly had its moments.
We talked a little bit about that last time you were here. The Grateful Dead was doing their one-time-only reunion show.
Yeah, and I didn't go.
And do you remiss, regret?
Even though there was more than one time, as it turned out.
Well, they're still playing. Bob Weir was playing down the street this week, and the Grateful Dead picked up with the same band, minus one guy.
Yeah, and I think Phil Lesh was just at Coney Island. Anyway, I didn't go, and I don't have huge regrets, but the following Tuesday when I was working at the bar, a lovely neighborhood regular came in, and she had just been, and she had this magnificent post-Grateful Dead weekend glow. And she had had the greatest time ever.
Well, God bless her. And I hope everybody comes away feeling good.
Yeah.
I got yelled at this week by my lawyer. We were having dinner. She's like, you hate the Grateful Dead. You hate the Grateful Dead.
No, you don't.
And I'm like, no, I don't.
No.
And I actually... Well, you know, I did call Bob Weir the most useless man in rock and roll in my first book. And he is. He's like, you know what the Grateful Dead suck at? Rocking out. And he's the guy that wanted to do this frat boy sort of rock. What they're great at is singing ballads. They're great at being the Grateful
Country.
Dead.
I love the sort of country mode. I love the psychedelic mode. But rock and roll, no.
No, they're not great at doing that early Stones thing or Yardbirds.
Yeah, they're not.
They just don't have the oomph and the right. Burning, singing, guitar tones to do it. But somehow I do love the Grateful Dead. I want to love them.
Not
well, you can love different modes of the Grateful Dead, as I do.
I don't love any mode.
Well, Pete, you know, you're not here in the studio to make your case, because you're in Lakeville with your tree surgeon, who probably does love the Grateful Dead. I have a feeling tree surgeons love the Dead.
So I can say what I think.
Yeah, you forfeited.
You've outed yourself as a bourgeois Lakeville tree surgeon hiring motherfuckers, Remba. Okay, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and I want to tell everybody that this week, Wednesday the 12th, I'm going to be at the Bowery Electric celebrating Steve Blush's new book about New York rock and art, and it's a fantastic new volume from the guy who brought you New York Hardcore. I'm going to be making a rare appearance with my band, the Edison Rocket Train, featuring D-Pop, who you may remember from such bands as the Contortions, the Bush Tetras, and actually a very important but uncredited appearance with the Clash. And I say, if he's good enough for Joe Strummer, then he's good enough for me. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear the Edison Rocket Train right now. Here's a dose of that go-go gospel. You're going to hear it Wednesday night at the Bowery Electric. We'll be right back with Rosie Schapp, Pete Zaremba here on Arts and Seizures.
There are over 50,000 Chinese-American restaurants in the U.S. That's more than three times the number of McDonald's. How did Chinese-American food become so popular? And what's the story behind their unique menu of dishes like egg rolls and General's Chicken? Brooklyn's Museum of Food and Drink is going to explain it all with our next exhibition, Chow, The Making of Chinese-American Cuisine, featuring tastings, beautiful artifacts, and live demos of a fortune cookie machine. Visit chow.mofad.org to learn more, get advanced tickets, and help us make this exhibition a reality. Again, that's the Museum of Food and Drink at chow.mofad.org. Oh, yeah.
Oh, crazy, Daisy. And I, the MOFAD, the Museum of Food Entrance, is fantastic. And Zaremba, you might have something to contribute to the history of Chinese food, having just been in China. But first, before that, our friend Rosie was just visiting the local witchcraft emporium.
Yeah, I love it. One thing I love about coming here to Heritage Radio, in addition to hanging out with you, Mike, I love Roberta's, of course.
What about me? Well,
I miss you, Pete. I've already said that. I really do miss you.
You're just a phantasm.
But also my favorite little hipster witchcraft store, Catland, is just around the corner. And it's a place with a really nice feeling about it. So I always like to stop by there and get a reading or get some kind of little tchotchke. Your onyx came from there.
So far, so good. No evils since you gave this to
no
me.
No evils. Everything's
since
been great
you gave this to
in
me,
the studio.
Been amazing.
Everything is fantastic. So for the first time in, I don't know, nearly 30 years, I bought a new deck of tarot cards. I haven't bought a new deck in so long, and I wanted one, something about the season. But, this also gives me an opportunity to talk about two recent books that I really love. One is directly connected to tarot cards in a way. It's Ruth Franklin's wonderful new biography of the great writer Shirley Jackson, most famous for The Lottery.
I love Shirley Jackson.
A brilliant writer who deserved a new biography, and Franklin's book is brilliant. And Shirley Jackson read tarot cards.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Shirley Jackson's a great writer.
A genius, and yeah. I don't throw that word around, and she really deserved this deep new consideration. And I also wanted to say how much I love your new book.
Oh, that's very sweet of you.
Thank
you.
Which doesn't mention tarot cards, but it's so frank and heartfelt and funny. And
I brought you a copy.
That's so kind of you. Thank you. And I love the title. You are a complete disappointment.
I had no idea that you had read it. I'm very, very flattered.
It's wonderful.
And humbled. And I did bring you a copy today because, not only you're a wonderful writer, but I know from the essay you wrote about your father, Dick Schaap, famous sports writer and editor, New York City. Lovely story about Muhammad Ali, and that photo is, that photo is just out of sight.
It is,
you know?
As I wrote.
That is like, you were like the Nirvana baby.
Yeah, it is my prized possession. Mike's talking about a photo taken of Muhammad Ali and me when I was 3 years old before he went to Congo for the Rumble in the Jungle.
He didn't really hate you, did he?
Very gently, which explains a lot.
Since Muhammad Ali died, I've been watching the fights, sort of like going through his career. They're all on YouTube. And,
yeah.
I've been watching them, and it's amazing the brutality of the yeah. Frazier, the first Frazier
yeah.
fight. Oh, my
yeah.
God. But I saw when he enters the ring, I've never seen a more beautiful man. I mean, truly, he's like he walked off of Mount Olympus that the gods delivered him.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think
it's
of
magnificent.
In the mortal realm, the earthly realm. Ted DiBiase, fuck off, Zaremba. We're talking like an order of magnitude above anything. As much as I love the world professional wrestling, Ric Flair, the greats do not compare to Muhammad Ali. And
I
tried to make a list, and here's what I came up with of people who are as beautiful as Muhammad Ali that we were graced with. I came up with Elvis Presley, Elizabeth Taylor, and Natalie Wood. After that, I couldn't think of anybody else.
You know, I'm not sure even they compare.
Taylor. The way he just walks, he's a giant among men. That he radiates, he glows, his face, his smile is so beautiful. The way his shoulders are square, reach, his movement, his agility.
It's not just the physical beauty, it's the illumination of that beauty by wit, by charm, by incomparable charisma.
It's a real, like, almost supernatural presence.
Absolutely. I mean, just looking at photos of him after he died, I mean, the most photogenic human ever,
yeah.
So here's a sound I haven't made in a long time. Wait, do you hear this? The sound of a brand new deck of tarot cards being shuffled.
Our listeners are more used to hearing, like clinking in a glass.
Right. And this is a deck I've never had before. At my peak as a would-be teenage witch back in the 90s, I had a lot of different decks. I made a deck, but I never had the Morgan Greer.
You made your own tarot cards?
Oh, I totally did.
That's a great project. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I love the cards.
I do, too. I do, too.
I believe in them, and we were talking about Jodorowsky and what he had said about the cards
yeah.
before. If you know They tell you about yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, this isn't about fortune telling. This isn't about the gypsy at the corner who charges you $5. You know, this is the cards are really a wonderful thing. They really describe.
Well, as I've always said, it's about reading the person. And I started to understand
more
that.
So than even the Mets as a metaphor for life.
Right. Although now I'm thinking a Mets tarot deck. Wouldn't that be something? Or just a general baseball tarot deck.
Maybe if they had someone, pulling the cards before they went to the bullpen, that ball wouldn't have ended up in the seats.
Yeah. It could help. Maybe. But this is a nice deck. I'm just getting used to it. It has that new tarot deck smell.
Does it feel good?
It feels good. Oh, yeah, it totally feels good, which is important, as you know.
So it's probably a bit much to ask you to do a reading.
I couldn't do, but I'm gonna shuffle them for a bit, and then I'm going to hand it over to you, and you'll pick a card, and we'll see what comes of that.
All right.
Sound good?
And comes to me. It sounds great. I'm, again, kind of flattered and... I'm humbled by this whole experience. You know, next time Zaremba calls in, sick, I'm calling you to be the co-host.
I'd be delighted. Okay, so you're going to pick a card.
You're in. By the way, that's a binding contract.
All right, Mike Edison is picking a card. Okay.
It's the Page of Pentacles.
I'm hearing
the Page of Pentacles.
That's not the Jimmy Page. So calm down.
Describe what's happening for the listeners, Mike.
Right. Okay, so I've just handed... I shuffled the deck. I gave them a good...
And I drew a card from this tarot deck.
And Mike drew...
Did he pick the Fool?
He did not, but the Fool...
I did when I hired you to be the co-host, Zaremba. Are you ready to do that song? Because that song's still coming up.
The Page of Pentacles. I always think of...
He's very good looking.
He's very good looking, and he has a tremendously jaunty, sort of velveteen looking chapeau. Is there a feather in that?
There is a feather in his cap.
There's always something jaunty and kind of courtly about the pages. Pentacles, of course, are the earth... the earth suit, there's something very earthy, very practical. To me, it suggests a quest for greater grounding and practicality, greater attention to practical concerns.
I would say this is very accurate.
And a renewed commitment to dealing with that stuff.
This is very accurate. And here we are, I mean, in the Jewish New Year, we're in that week between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
We're full of awe.
It is the days of awe,
yes.
And I have been trying to spend time reflecting a little bit. And
yeah, I find it very helpful this season.
A little course correction is always welcome.
Yeah.
I think I need both to be regrounded in practicality. Mm-hmm. I think the IRS would agree with that assessment, but also trying to recharge myself in the creative realm.
Yeah. No, I mean, to me, that's something the pages are about. They're also there to assist. They're not the big guy. They're not a king or a knight. So being helpful to others, I think, is part of this, being a kind of guide where you can. But it's good. I think a page, and especially the nice, earthy, solid, grounding pentacles, I think it's a good card for this season.
I think it's great, and I'm going to think about this.
Terrific.
And I will. I will definitely be thinking about this. Yeah, assist others and be kind to others. I think that's the imperative.
Absolutely.
I mean, I honestly do. And if I had you know to pick one thing that upsets me more about Donald Trump, just to bring it back, vulgar, earthly concerns. Well, it's not his the language. I mean, what am I going to be upset? I work for Screw. I work for Hustler. I mean, I've said things a thousand worse, but I've never promoted violence or assault on women. I mean, also, I'm not running for president. And also, I was working for Screw Magazine, which I'm very proud of, and I own it. And I think anything can be funny in context.
Yeah.
You know, as...
Yeah, he's not funny.
He's not funny.
Not at
you can
all.
Say anything you want. He's deadly fucking serious, and it's really like kind of horrifying.
It is.
But the thing that really upsets me mostly is this lying about charity. I got to say, we weren't upset about that. That someone like gives him money that he says he's going to give to veterans, and he ends up like paying his own legal bills
buying
with
a
it?
Painting
because that's
himself.
That's a grift. That's swindling.
Yeah.
That's it's a thieving. It's thievery. Yeah. You know, that you know, I don't give a shit if a guy talks locker room talk. I can't stand that he pressed himself on a woman.
Well, when it's about assault.
Assault is something else. Dirty talk is
horrible.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, he's horrible from the top of his cowboy hat to the bottom of his cowboy shoes, as someone once said. But lying about charity is like, to me that's sort of, I do feel that it is all of our imperative that those of us who are more fortunate, here's Mike Edison getting on his arts and seizure soapbox, but you must take care of those who are less fortunate.
I agree.
Than us, and this is coming up to Yom Kippur. I think about this all the time. In the Jewish tradition, it's called tzedakah.
Yeah.
It's what we do.
We help people.
It's what we do. And now, Zaremba, in the spirit of tzedakah, I'm going to help you. Okay.
Help me, Mike.
This is your star turn. Okay. It's been the fastest half hour on the internet today. I can't believe we've blown by 30 minutes, and I'm going to break my own rule. We're going to go over just because, Pete, we've been working so hard on this. When I say worked hard on it, I mean we listened to the song once this morning, and then you worked so hard on not showing up today. So we're going to do this song over the radio.
I actually printed these lyrics out, Mike.
You did. Let's see. Was my guitar even on? Did I turn it off?
Sounds good.
There you go.
In there.
So this is, once again, though, let's hear it for Rosie Shep, who I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of.
Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure to see you.
Likewise.
Thank you so much for the Onyx, which I'm feeling very good about, the Page of Pentacles, which I'm going to meditate on. Don't forget, look for Rosie in the New York Times Magazine to read about Trink. Find her at her bar south in Park Slope. She will mix you a fabulous cocktail, make an old-fashioned the old-fashioned way, or otherwise, if that's what you prefer. Really happy to see you here today. We're going to have a pizza out in the tent. Thanks to Dave in the booth, of course, and Zaremba. So the Rolling Stones.
I do miss the pizza.
You do miss the pizza. You just say that because you think you're everybody's favorite pizza, Pizza Rumba. Did I make the joke about the sap on the tree? I did. All right. Pete, did you take a shower today? Try that again. Pete, did you take a shower today?
There was one missing.
All right.
Hey, how was your Rosh Hashanah so far, Mike?
So far, so good.
There you go. Now we're going.
All right. So this is actually, the Rolling Stones actually made a new record. They're stealing our act, basically. They've been clearly listening to Arts and Seizures, and they're doing a song of all blues songs, so we thought we would cover the new Rolling Stones single, which has been out for all 48 hours. Of course, it's actually been out for 55 years.
Through the miracle of satellite.
What's old is new again. All right, once again, thanks to Rosie Shep and everybody out there in listener land. Next week, we're coming back with a Borscht Belt special. Next week is the Borscht Belt. You should come, Rosie.
Yeah, I love the Borscht Belt. Yeah. I love Borscht.
You love Borscht?
Yeah.
I will bring Borscht. I will spike it with vodka if you promise to come.
Okay.
All right, Pete, you ready? Here we're going to go out. Arts and Seizure. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
See you next week. Cha, cha, cha.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.